This is part two of a message by David Ebal entitled, When is the Rapture?
And we know that this bondage of corruption is going to be over with. Romans 8 teaches we're saved by hope, and it's talking about the physical body. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, 52 teaches us that this is going to take place at the last trump. And I suggest to you that the last trump is that the seventh trump of the book of Revelation, and I think we'll be able to see it. If you look in Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, let me just quote it. We won't take time to look at it because we're running out of time. Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. And when the seventh angel sounded, and I heard a great voice from heaven which said, oh, wait a minute, that's in 11:15. 10:7. And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be, say it, finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. Now, the mystery of God is to be finished. What's another word for finished? Done, over, complete, through. In other words, I'm going to try to paraphrase it this way. At the beginning of the sound, I said beginning, not end, not middle or end, but the beginning of the sound. You know. And when he starts that sound, now we'll play like it's Gabriel. How many have heard of Gabriel blowing his silver trumpet? All right. This will be Gabriel, seventh trumpet. Here he goes. And just at the beginning of that sound, all that God has prophesied through his servants, the prophets, shall be what? Finished. Or with, done, complete. We're expecting that this will all be finished at the sound of the seventh trump. But it's the beginning of the sound of the seventh trump. That's the reason I personally am not really all the way a post-trib. I don't believe all the way in post-trib rapture. I believe that we're raptured at the beginning of the sound of that symphony that he's playing or whatever this song he's playing. The rapture or the resurrection occurs at the beginning. Do you see why? In the days of the seventh angel, when he shall what? Begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished. That's why I'm even modifying from that. Therefore, I'm all by myself. And the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Oh, it sure is lonely out here. Years ago, I gave a testimony at Zirkel Circle in Washington, D.C., and after the meeting, a girl came up to me, and she began to prophesy and said, you're going to walk a lonely road. And it has been a very lonely, lonely road, because I find that well over 90% believe in a pre-trib rapture, only a small percent believes in a mid-trib rapture, and very few believe in a post-trib rapture, and I don't even agree with any of them. But I'm pretty close with the post-trib guys, and I have fellowship with them. I just happen to modify the post-trib position. You see what I'm talking about? And therefore, that's the scripture that I use. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, it talks about when the trumpet actually blows. And when the trumpet blows, then I hear a voice from heaven, and it says, the kingdoms of this earth are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. It makes me feel religious. Just thinking about it. Now, I think personally that the kingdoms of this earth refer to steamship companies, Boeing aircraft, General Motors, furniture stores, television stations, carpet manufacturers and sales. You see what I'm talking about? Kingdoms of this what? Earth. Are become the kingdoms of our what? Lord and of his Christ. And he's going to reign forever and ever over those things. Those will not be the motivating influences anymore, but the kingdoms of the Lord will then provide the motivation. And we believe that this rapture occurs in Revelation chapter 11, verse 12. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 12, it talks about, and they heard a voice. It was up in heaven in the clouds, and it says, come up hither, and they ascended up to heaven in the clouds. Now, if you'll read that chapter 11, verse 12, in line with the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 scriptures. Brethren, I wouldn't have you ignorant concerning them which are asleep and all that kind of thing. You'll find out that there in Thessalonians it says, first, there's going to be a shout, a trump, a voice from heaven, a cloud, and an ascending up. All five of those symbols. Now you turn back to Revelation chapter 11, verse 12, and you'll find a trump. You'll find a voice from heaven. You'll find a cloud. What's the other one? I forgot. What? Enemies beheld him. There's one other symbol I forget. And then finally, going up to meet him in the air, and so forth. So each one of these scriptures, each one of these signs that's in Thessalonians is doubled up and is paralleled in the book of Revelation. Are there any questions on this before I go ahead? Okay, flip your paper and turn over to the other side now. And we have a few more scriptures on when is the kingdom of God, when is this rapture, when is this all going to take place. Now, Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Oh, I do wish we had time, but I don't feel that we can do it. I'm just going to have to paraphrase him. In Luke 17, 20, they demanded when the kingdom of God should come. They asked Jesus, and they demanded. But Jesus answered and said, it's not with observation. For you see, back then they thought that the kingdom of God, that Jesus would be the king. How many remember? The Jews were looking for a Messiah, a king, who would rule in might and power and majesty and glory and honor and dominion, who would have a crown and a scepter and a throne. They asked Jesus, are you the king? And he said, thou sayest. He said, but my kingdom is not of this world. But we just read the scripture that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Back then, 2,000 years ago, his kingdom was not of this world. He came to bring peace to the what? To the heart, to the inner man. You see, when he does rule and reign, Jesus is going to have people to rule and reign with him. Remember the scriptures, I saw thrones? Judgment was given unto them, and they, plural, ruled and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, if Jesus would have set up his kingdom 2,000 years ago, there wasn't anybody ready. They thought they were, but they weren't. Wouldn't that have been awful if all those guys back then, you know, would have had this kind of power? Do you see what I'm talking about? All right, now let me try one that's even harder. Wouldn't it be awful if you started ruling and reigning tonight? just as bad. Because we are maturing, in other words. We're not perfect, but in a sense we are perfect. See, my righteousness is Jesus Christ. My peace is Jesus Christ. My joy is Jesus Christ. Therefore, I'm perfect. But I've also got this dumb head. And it's being changed too, from glory unto glory. Putting on the mind of Christ, changing. Therefore, it's not with observation, but it's inside. How many know that Jesus came to bring the kingdom inside? Do you think I came to bring peace to the earth? I tell you what? Nay, but a what? Sword. Look, I'm coming to bring the peace of God inside. Now the Prince of Peace was born. This is the Christmas season, right? The Prince of Peace. How many know that Jesus is called the Prince of Peace? And in many of the churches, the ecclesiastical hierarchy will be talking about the Prince of Peace, probably next week. And they have been. And they'll be talking about Jesus really wants us to live in peace and to be at peace with each other. But we know, those of us, you know, they're really looking into the Word, that's not what Jesus came to do, to bring peace among brothers and sisters, among fathers and mothers. He said, I tell you, name of a sword. Finally, it'll be five against, in five, family five, three against two, two against three, right? Father against son, all this kind of thing. Look, whenever truth comes, the truth will what? Divide. And it won't be peaceful whenever truth is being restored. How many have been through some trouble lately? Did you notice whenever there's a restoration of truth, whenever someone really is talking about truth, it always brings a division, set jaws, clenched fist, and people get mad. Now listen, brethren, these things ought not to be. Romans 14:1 teaches us that as Christians, We should not clench our fist. We should not grit our teeth. We should love each other, even though someone's got a different idea than we've got. That's not the way to Christianity. We receive that brethren, but not his doubtful disputation, not his doubtful thought, not his funny doctrine or something, but we'll receive that brethren. Luke 19:11 goes on with the thought, and they, his disciples, thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. The disciples of Jesus Christ were talking to Jesus Christ, and they thought that immediately this kingdom should appear. And Jesus said, absolutely not, it's going to be a long time. How many remember that in Luke? Well, go back and check it out. The scriptures teach that they thought it would immediately appear, that might empower majesty. Don't you remember James and John arguing? Lord, in the kingdom, who's going to get the big seat? Who's going to be the big rod, the big wheel? Who's going to have right under you, Jesus? Who's going to be at your right hand? And you remember the story? They were expecting it right then. But it didn't work that way. No, Jesus came to bring peace to our hearts, change our minds, give the Holy Spirit, which will bring all things to our remembrance, changing our souls so that he could bring the kingdom physically, literally, to the world eventually. Luke 21:31. We have to turn to this now. Luke 21. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye, the kingdom of God is what? Is what? Nigh at hand. What things is he speaking of when you see these things come to pass? Know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. We'll back up. What's the first paragraph mark you got in front of 31? Keep going back now. 25? Aha! This is a real, real important key. Mark this one. The kingdom of God is nigh at hand when you see these things come to pass. What things? 25. Signs in sun, moon, stars, upon the earth, distress of nations, perplexity, seas and waves rolling, men's heart feeling for fear and looking for those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Is this reminding you of anything that we've studied before? All these same symbols are in Matthew 24, 29. And they'll see the Son of Man coming in cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, look up! Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he's speaking of the parable of a what? Fig tree and olive trees. Now, don't you remember what we had in Matthew 24, 29? Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be dark and moon turn to blood, stars fall from heaven, and then shall the heavens come together as a scroll. It just said that about the heavens coming together. Now, learn the parable of the what? Fig tree. I'm paraphrasing now from Matthew 24. It's the same thing here. Now, in Luke 21:31, it gives you a key. The kingdom of God is nigh at hand when? When you see these things. Well, now, those of us who've been studying the book of Revelation know what that means. When you see these things come to pass. Opening of the what? Sixth seal. The book of Revelation. Now, look at your chart there. The fifth seal is open. We have lived through five seals. The sixth seal should open now at 10 o'clock. Well, I've been wrong before about that, but one of these days I'll be right. The sixth seal is just about to open. And he says, when you see these things, sun, dark, and moon, turn to blood, stars fall from heaven, you know the kingdom of heaven is nigh. It's nigh at hand. Now, in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, it describes the opening of the sixth seal. Sun, darker, moon, turn to blood, stars fall from heaven. In Matthew 24, it talks about the opening of the sixth seal. Sun, darker, moon, turn to blood, stars fall from heaven. In Mark, it talks about sun, darker, moon, turn to blood, stars fall from heaven. In Luke, it talks about sun, darker, moon, turn to blood, stars fall from heaven. In Acts, it talks about sun, dark, moon, and blood, stars fall from heaven. In Joel, it talks about sun, dark, moon, and blood, stars fall from heaven. Have you got the idea? It's important. Of all the subjects that I've studied in the Bible from one end to the other, I find that this, there's more about the sun, dark, and moon, and blood, stars fall from heaven. This particular subject seemed to have more interest, and the prophets looked for this more than any other subject. And we know the kingdom of heaven is drawing nigh when? When these symbols begin to occur. Sun, dark, moon, turn, blood, stars from heaven. Sealing the sixth seal. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 24, the generation that's alive and remains to see these things start is going to see all these things. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that the generation that sees the start of this is going to see the end of this. All these things. And when we study what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24, we find out he was talking about the opening of the sixth seal, the opening of the seventh seal, and the blowing of all those seven trumpets that are on your chart there. Therefore, he said it like this, and if I can paraphrase him, he said it's going to be less than one generation from the opening of the sixth seal to the seventh trumpet. Now, I don't know how long that is, because it might be that from the sixth seal to the seventh trumpet will be less than 20 years, 19 years, 17 years, 30 years, 70 years, 40 years. I don't know. Take your pick. Or it might be that these are the guys that are going to overcome and not die, and so it might be 1,000 years. You know, they still are here during all... Do you see what I'm talking about during all these times? I don't know what this generation will be, but here's what I do know for sure. If you're alive and remain to the opening of the sixth seal, which ought to be in just a few more minutes now, then you're going to be here at the coming of the Lord. And that ought to be the good part. The Lord is coming. The time is coming. It's very, very short. However, there are certain things that have to be done first. Now, most Bible teachers teach that Jesus is coming tonight. There's a good chance that Jesus is coming tonight. Now, please don't be mad at me, but I don't believe he's coming tonight. Now, don't get mad. Now, some people get really mad when you say that. Say, well, how can you be a Christian and not believe Jesus is coming tonight? That's a blessed hope. Well, of course it's a blessed hope. I believe Jesus is coming in my lifetime, and I believe he's coming in your lifetime, and I believe you've got to shape up or ship out. But I also believe that certain nations have to shape up, too. And certain nations have to be in control of other nations. They're not that way right now. Do you see what I'm talking about? Now, I believe that they will, and there are plenty of signs that indicate that they're lining up very swiftly. Now, let's talk about the young kids for a minute. Some of the young kids are all upset because they don't want Jesus to come back because they haven't gotten married. Now, you think about this as a serious thing. How about the young ones that haven't really lived and don't know what life is about yet, and they're really, you know, they want to have some time to get some things done. I know of a boy and a girl that were so convinced that Jesus was coming back that they hurried up and got married to sneak it in before Jesus got back. And you know what? They did that 40 years ago. They heard an evangelist speak so positively and so convinced that, you know, these were the last days and Jesus was coming in just a couple minutes, that they believed it and they got married and they wanted to sneak in their marriage prior to the fact that Jesus would come back, you see. And I think there are times they wish they'd taken more time. do you see what I'm talking about? And this is a very serious thing. Now, here's what I want to show you. If you're alive and remain to the coming of the Lord, now this is a shocker, but you got to look at it this way. Or at least I'm asking you to look at it this way. I'm not saying believe it, but look at it. You're going to put immortality and incorruption. What's that do to your physical body? Makes your body better. Does it remove your body? Does it keep you from enjoying fish? Did Jesus have one of those kind of bodies and eat fish? Shake it up and down now. Yes, he did, all right. Did he enjoy it? You think he did? All right. I'm suggesting to you that you will enjoy in your physical body those things your physical body was built for. But then you'll overcome the curse. And what that means is there'll be no pain, no sorrow. You know the curse? Genesis 2. And that you'll have a complete enjoyment of all the physical senses, but it won't bring you into death or bring you into life. Now, do you see the difference? Some people want to die, or they want to go to heaven to get away from the physical senses. But I'm trying to show you that really, that's not what it says. It says that you'll put on immortality and incorruption. That doesn't mean get rid of your physical senses. It only means perfect them. Now, do you see the difference in this? This is a vital point. This is very, very important. Because most people, well, most of the Psalms are written about, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. And when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. That's the hope of the Christians a few years ago. Oh, pray for me, brother, that I can just hold on to the end. That kind of thing. Oh, the devil's been after me all week, bless his holy name. And I've heard those testimonies, and the people would just pray that they could hold on to the end, that kind of thing. Well, that's not what I'm looking for, friend. I used to sing the song, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. But now, I don't want to go over the hilltop. I found out, according to John, that he's going to bring the mansion to me. And in John 14:23, all I got to do is love him, and he brings the mansion here instead of me dying and go over there. Do you see the difference now in what I'm talking about? This is a big thing in the changes. Now, Luke 21 teaches that when you get to the sun, darkened, moon, darkened, blood, stars fall from heaven, then the kingdom of God is nigh. Jesus said in Matthew 24, when you get to the sun, darkened, moon, darkened, blood, that's the generation that's going to see all these things. Now, when the seventh trumpet blows, the kingdoms of this earth become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And that's the generation. And that's why I'm so thrilled, and I still believe it's going to be at 10 o'clock. Now, I'm not saying that I'm prophesying. You understand, I'm not prophesying that it's going to happen. But I conduct my life as though the six seals are the very next thing. And for the young people, I want to tell you something that's good instead of bad. You won't lose out. For the young people, I really believe that there'll still be marriage. You see, in heaven, there's no marriage or giving in marriage. The people that die are like angels. But the people who overcome death and have incorruptible bodies and immortal bodies, that didn't say they won't be married. I know that's a shocker to you, but shake your head and say, at least I understand what you're talking about. Whether you agree or not, just say, I understand what you're saying. All right. Yeah. No pain. It's a curse. Well, if you're going to overcome the curse, well, what would be a better way of life than to enjoy all the physical senses and enjoy the children and not be afraid of a pregnancy because there's no pain? Don't you see? It may be a much, much better way of life than the way we're living it today. See, that's a whole lot better. I saw one lady who says, I cannot get over the fear of a pregnancy. But that's only because she only understands things the way they are today. Can you understand this difference now, the difference in way of looking at things? All right, go with me now to your other sheet of paper, please. And it starts with Revelation chapter 16, verse 15, I come as a thief. Now, most people teach that the rapture occurs in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to say that again. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He went up to heaven. And the margin note in the Scofield Bible says, see, that's the rapture. But I want you to think for a minute. In chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus is still saying, I'm coming. Well, if we were raptured in chapter 4, why is Jesus still saying, I'm coming in chapter 16? I mean, do you see what I'm talking about? How can that be? And then he says, you guys keep your garments white. Well, Well, that means that there was somebody there who had white garments who had a chance of getting them dirty. Now, how did you get your garment white? The blood of Jesus Christ, right? Have you got a robe of righteousness? It's white in the blood of Jesus. You see what I'm talking about? All right, keep it clean. And he's still coming up in chapter 16, verse 15. Now, in 16:2, he says, now those men that have the mark, and in 9:4, he says, those men who have not the seal, which indicates that there was another group of men. In other words, what he's saying is, in both those times, chapter 9 and chapter 16 again, there's some guys who got the mark of the devil and they got the seal of the Lord and different things like that, but some people don't have the seal of the Lord and don't have the mark of the devil. It's implied. In other words, let me try it this way. Suppose I come in here and say, suppose I got some people out here and I tell them, I want you to go in this house right now and give $5 to every man that's got a hat on. That would imply that I'm expecting some men in here not to be wearing a hat. Does that make sense to you? And those scriptures then, by the same implication, indicate that surely there are going to be some good guys and bad guys all mixed up during those times that the scriptures are being fulfilled. Good guys and bad guys mixed up in there together. Now in John chapter 17, verse 15, Jesus is praying right now, and Jesus is speaking to his heavenly Father. And in John 17:15, he said, I pray not that you take them out of the world. How many remember that? Well, most people are praying that we will be taken out of the world, right? That we'll be raptured before the mess. That's not what he said. I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you would what? Keep them from the evil. Now, most people are praying, take us out of the world, give us a fire escape. Jesus said, no, I'm not going to pray that you get your fire escape. I'm going to pray that you go through the fire. But it won't hurt you. That the evil won't hurt you. In chapter 16, verse 33, John 16, 33, Jesus said, look, in the world you shall have, what? Tribulation. Now let's say that again. Bad guys get the wrath of God, but the good guys get the tribulation. I'm going to say that again. Every time, all the time, when God's speaking to the bad guys, he says, I'm going to give you my wrath. I'm going to pour it out on you, and I'm going to really whip you. Wrath is because you've been bad. But he said, for the good guys, you don't get the wrath, you get the tribulation. See, tribulation is for a different purpose. The purpose of tribulation is a growing, learning experience. We're to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, trials, tribulations. These are for our growing, for our perfecting, and our learning. So we're not so interested in worrying about trying to find out where the fire escape is. I'm interested in the power to go through. You see this difference now? In 1 Thessalonians 3:3, he says he will keep you from the evil. And Psalm 91 teaches, now don't you be afraid of the arrow that flies, the pestilence destroys. Look, 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it what? It shall not come nigh thee.
This message by David Ebal, entitled, When is the Rapture, will continue on cassette number 2. Be sure to send for your free catalog of Bible teaching tapes. Send your name and address with zip code to David Ebal Bible School, 102 Park Terrace, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.